Would you go with me to the Word of God tonight, to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Mexico, where we are ministering, is a place where essentially every person is Catholic. I think the actual percentage is in the high 80s, 86-87% identify as Catholic. Where we're at, it just seems like it's like every person says they're Catholic. They don't know what that means, but they say that they're Catholic because of tradition, because of family, because of culture. In the year 1483, a boy was born into a Catholic family in a small town in Germany. And as he grew up, he became deeply concerned with spiritual things. And after a terrifying experience of a thunderstorm, this boy vowed that if God would spare his life, he would become a monk. And so true to his word, he entered into an Augustinian monastery and quickly became known for his discipline, his seriousness, and outward holiness. He fasted often, he prayed for long hours, he deprived himself of comfort, and he pursued righteousness with all the strength that he had. Later in life, he famously said, "If ever a monk got to heaven by his monkery, it was I." And yet, despite all of his effort, he had no peace. He was terrified by the holiness of God and constantly burdened by his own sin. He would spend hours in confession every day, desperately trying to remember every sin that he had committed, fearing that if he had forgotten even one sin, he might still stand condemned before a holy God. And the harder that he tried, the more aware that he became of his inability to measure up. But as this man studied the book of Romans, God began to open his eyes. He came to understand that the righteousness of God is not merely a standard that God demands, but a gift that God provides through faith in Jesus Christ. He realized that the Christian life was never meant to be lived through mere human striving and self-effort. All his fasting and praying and discipline and religious activity could not change his heart or give him peace with God. And upon the discovery of this beautiful doctrine of salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, his life was changed forever. And this man, Martin Luther, was gloriously saved. I think many Christians today live like Martin Luther lived before he understood the gospel. We think that the Christian life is mainly about trying harder and doing more, fighting harder against our sin in our own strength. But when we come to Romans chapter 8, if you'll join me here tonight, what Paul teaches us is something radically different than salvation by works. What we find here in Romans chapter 8 is that the Christian life is not a self-empowered moral effort. It is a life empowered by the Spirit of God. If you're familiar with the layout of the book of Romans, Romans chapter 6 through 8 speaks of sanctification. And that's what we want to talk about tonight, if you see on the next slide. The title of my sermon is simply this, Sanctification by Faith. We'll be covering verses 1 through 13 tonight. Oh, what is sanctification? If we're going to talk about sanctification, and we're going to read here in just a moment from the book of Romans in chapter 8, let's get sort of a running definition. I'm sure many of you know this. Sanctification in its most basic form just means to be set apart. Raise your hand if you've ever heard that simple definition of sanctification. Great. Many people in here. It means to be set apart. Sanctification is a part of our salvation. Did you know that? Maybe you've heard of the threefold sort of temporal breakdown of our salvation. That in the past we were saved from the penalty of our sin. That's our justification. Currently, we are being saved from the power of sin in our lives. That's sanctification. And one day, we will be saved from the presence of sin in our lives, and that's glorification. All of this encompasses this doctrine of salvation that we find in the Bible. But you know what happens oftentimes when we think of salvation, do we not? We sort of just think of justification, the day that I got saved, and we sort of leave it at that. But what the Bible shows us is that just as we are not saved by works, we're not justified by works, it's by faith apart from the law, what we find about sanctification, which is a part of our salvation, is that sanctification too is not by works, it's by faith. And this is what we find when we come to the book of Romans, and it's an understanding that really helps change the way that we think about our faith, the way that we think about our Christian life, and I hope it can be an encouragement to you tonight. The basic essence of the word sanctification, in all of its different forms, it's used about 114 different times in the New Testament. And it speaks of either, in the KJV, it's translated as holiness or holy, or in the verb form to hallow or to sanctify or to make holy. This is this word sanctify. It mostly speaks of God, but when it's tied to believers, it speaks of the fact that we are to be holy just as God is holy, and that we are to be sanctified as God is set apart. As we come to the book of Romans and Paul's second missionary journey, he spent 3 months at Corinth. And while he was there, he wanted to reach out to this church that was in Rome to encourage them, also to be encouraged by them. He was eager to visit them, but before he did, he wanted to lay a detailed and really a comprehensive groundwork of the doctrine of salvation. And so he begins writing this letter in a very theologically and doctrinally dense manner. He goes through great lengths in chapters 1-3 to establish the fact that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Jew, the pagan Gentile, the religious person, the non-religious, we are all under sin. There is none righteous, no, not one. In chapters 4 and 5, he establishes that justification, that first part of our salvation, that legal declaration whereby we are declared to be righteous before God is by faith. Then as we come to chapters 6-8, we see how the Christian life, our sanctification, this process that takes all the way until we breathe our last breath, is also by faith, a work of God in our heart. As we come here to Romans chapter 8, would you read with me? The Bible says this: "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. That," here's the purpose, "that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." What Paul begins to expound to these Roman believers is that our sanctification is by faith. So, as we begin to look through this tonight, I just want to give you a few points. The first point, as you can see there on the slide, we're going to see together, is that the basis of our sanctification. The basis for our sanctification. We saw here in the first 4 verses that it speaks of the work that Jesus has done. But what is the basis for our sanctification? It is Jesus. Would you look at verse 4? The Bible says that the righteousness of the law, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Well, what does this come from? Well, in verse 3, it said that what the law couldn't do and that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Jesus is the basis for our sanctification. If you look at the next slide that I have up here, Paul has already explained in Romans chapter 5 and verse 19. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 19, the Bible says this: "For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous." By the obedience of one. I love learning about the sacrifice that Jesus made. He not only died on the cross, but he died on the cross as a perfect sacrifice. Well, how was he the perfect sacrifice? Because he was perfect. He was righteous in all that he did, that God made him to be sin who knew no sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And so this is Jesus, the one who was righteous, the one who did no sin. By the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. You and I, in a progressive sense, as we're speaking tonight about sanctification, yes, we can talk about our positional holiness. The day that we got saved, God declared us to be righteous before him. And that's our position. Some people call it definite sanctification. But there's also the progressive aspect of our sanctification, of our holiness, that for the rest of our lives, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1:30, "But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification." And this process goes on for the rest of our life. Jesus is the very basis for why we can say that we can live a holy life. In Hebrews 10:10, if you look there at the screen or in your Bibles if you want to turn to it really quickly. The author makes the direct link between the finished work of Christ as the foundation of our sanctification. He says in Hebrews 10:10, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. This is what Jesus has done for us. He has provided us the opportunity to be holy, to be sanctified. It is because of Christ. I threw a quote up here on the screen. If you're interested in ever studying about holiness, the Puritans are some of the greatest writers. We would disagree with them in some things, but man, about the doctrine of sanctification, they live some holy lives, and it's so encouraging to read some of their writings. An old British Puritan wrote this: all holiness in believers is from Jesus Christ. He's the basis of our sanctification. He is the cause of it and the spring of it. And man, the Puritans were known for the piety that they had, their love for the Trinity, for the God who had this wonderful plan through Jesus Christ carrying out this plan, and the Holy Spirit who applies the plan, and they lived all out for Jesus. And what we come to understand, not just from the Puritans, but from Paul himself, as the Holy Spirit is inspiring the Bible, is that, wow, because of Christ, it is because of Christ that we can be holy. I want you to notice next in our passage as we move on, verses 5 through 11, I want you to notice the possibility of sanctification, the possibility of sanctification. The Bible continues and Paul writes, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. He says in verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of God, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And verse 11 concludes this thought, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken or make alive your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. This is where Catholic theology begins to err. They're trying to achieve holiness without first coming to Christ by faith. We understand that first, Jesus is the basis of our sanctification, and through his Spirit that then has come, now we have the ability, or there lies the possibility that we too can be sanctified, but we can't get the cart before the horse. We can't just try to manufacture holiness in our lives. We can't just try harder and grit our teeth and do better. We're going to fall every single time. And so we have to depend on someone outside of ourselves, one that is intrinsically holy. You and I have just been declared holy in a sort of court of law, if you will. We've been declared. Our count says we are holy before God. But you know what? The Catholic Church teaches that we are intrinsically holy, that God has endued us with holiness, that we in and of ourselves can be holy. And what the Bible teaches us is that no, that's not the case. But it's that God inside of us is working in us and through us. It's not because we, in our flesh, have anything to offer God. My righteousness, I don't know about yours, but mine's just filthy rags. And so I have nothing to offer God, but God has made it possible now that I am a child of God, that he's declared me holy. Now I have the Holy Spirit inside of me, empowering me to be holy. It is possible for us to live a holy life because we have been transferred from the kingdom of darkness into his light. We are no longer, like verse 6 says, we are no longer carnally minded. Now, sometimes we can act like this, but what Paul is saying here in verse 6 is that we are no longer carnally minded. We are spiritually minded people because God has given us the Holy Spirit. The carnal mind is characterized by enmity against God in verse 7. It's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. But look at verse 9. But you're not in the flesh. God has transferred you into a different kingdom. You are now in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. He says that we cannot. That is to say, we are incapable of pleasing God in the flesh, being sanctified in the flesh, being holy in the flesh. It's impossible. But now it's possible through the Holy Spirit, sanctification by faith. In John 15:5, Jesus declares that without me, you can do what? Nothing. Without me, you can do nothing. He says, hey, I am the vine. My Father is the husbandman. You guys are the branches. Whoever dwells in me, whoever resides in me, stays there, dwells there. Whoever it dwells in me is going to bring forth much fruit. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. He says, but I want you to hear this. Jesus says, without me, you can't do anything. And so what we learn from John 15 in verse 5 is that we can't exist apart from Christ. We can't please God apart from faith. For without faith, it's impossible to please him. But what we understand here is that now, because of the Holy Spirit applying the work of God in our life, it is possible for us to live a holy life. Not because of us, but because of Christ in us. This is what Paul is laboring to teach to the church here at Rome. What I want you to notice next, and here's where it can really make a difference for you and I, if you'll look at the next point, the agency of sanctification. Would you see that with me? The agency of sanctification. In verse 12, the Bible says this, therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh, but then he implies that we are debtors to something else. He says, for if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you, and what are the next three words, church? Through the Spirit. Are you with me? But if you, through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. This is what Paul is explaining, is that sanctification is a work of God in your life. God wants you tonight to understand that sanctification is not a work that you can manufacture, that you can orchestrate in your life. It is a work of God by faith. The Bible says, but if you, through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Paul already established this. You can see on the screen here, the next slide. In Galatians 3:3, look at what Paul says. And the very God of peace sanctify you. Could you go back to that? And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. Brian lost it. I'll beat you up later, Brian. Just kidding. Galatians 3:3, if you have your Bible, would you turn with me quickly? I want you to see this in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 3. Oh, is it up there? Okay, sweet. Oh, it's 1 Thessalonians 5. Okay, well, turn to Galatians 3:3 really quickly because I want to show you this one. And then I'll come back to that verse in just a moment. Galatians 3:3 says, are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? What Paul is saying here, as he is explaining to the Galatians, who were sort of fooled into thinking that it's Christ plus Judaism, Christ plus the law, what Paul says is, having begun in the Spirit, are you now perfected? Are you now made perfect? Are you now sanctified? Are you now made holy by the flesh? Are you able to manufacture this on your own? And obviously the rhetorical answer is, well, of course not. But by faith, as he continues to explain in the passage, we don't have time to go on tonight, but obviously the rhetorical question is meant to be answered as no. No, you cannot. We are not made perfect. We are not sanctified by the works of the flesh. In 1 Thessalonians now, the verse on the screen, 1 Thessalonians 5, 23 through 24, and the very God of peace sanctify you. We're talking about the agency of sanctification, the agent, that is the vehicle through which, if you will, the vehicle through which God does his work. The Holy Spirit is the one who applies sanctification to your life, because what we learn here in Romans chapter 8 and verse 13 is that, but if you through the Spirit, by means of the Spirit is the agent of sanctification. And what it says here in 1 Thessalonians 5:23 is that the God of peace is the one who sanctifies us wholly. He says, and I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he. Here's the context of a verse that sometimes we'll rip it right out of its context. In the context of sanctification, faithful is he that calleth you, who what? Who also will do it. Do you remember that it's not me, it's not my strength, it's not you, but we can be confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. that it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It's God. It's by faith that we can apprehend this precious truth of the truth of holiness in our lives. It's not by you. It's not by me. Do you remember what the Holy Spirit told Zechariah? Or he told Zerubbabel and told Zechariah to go tell him that, hey, I want you to rebuild the walls here. I want you to rebuild the temple, but it's not by might, okay? It's not by power, but it's by my spirit. Although God has commanded us to live holy lives, the only way that it's possible for you and I tonight to live a holy life is that if God sanctifies us. Do you remember the prayer of Jesus in the garden? When he said, God, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. He says, God, I want you to sanctify them. I want you to sanctify them. And Jesus' prayer is being answered as you and I submit to the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. But may we understand that salvation is not by works, lest any man should boast. But you and I, as we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, he has made the foundation for our holiness. He has made it possible for us to be holy. He is the one who will make us holy. And I want you to notice, lastly, tonight, the cooperation in sanctification. The cooperation in sanctification. Look at verse 13 once again. He says, for if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if you through the Spirit do, and here's the verb for us, mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. That is, through the Spirit, God empowering us to live holy lives, we can then mortify, to slay, to destroy, to kill, to put to death the deeds of the body, the sinful old man that still is remnant in me that I need to kill off every day. It's now made possible because of Jesus Christ, and because of Jesus Christ, he's applying it through the Holy Spirit in my life, and now I have the ability to obey the commands of Jesus Christ. And the command to me is, well, I need to get to work. I need to mortify the deeds of the flesh. Sometimes we've heard the old phrase, let go and let God. Have you ever heard that before? It sounds really cool. And maybe some people, you know, get it tattooed across their chest or something. But I don't mean to burst your theology. But it's not just a let go and let God. I'm going to put my hands in my pockets and I'm not going to do much. And God's just going to poof, make me holy. There are commands for us to obey. We must be diligent. Therefore, having these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of flesh and spirit. Hey, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. That's a command to you and I that we must perfect, that is mature or bring to completion our holiness. So you and I have commands to obey, but remember that this is by faith. It's not just a try harder, just obey, a simple moralism. Moralism. It's not just a simple legalism that I'm going to do these outward things and God then will be pleased. But let us not remember that Paul said, but if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the flesh, hey, you shall live. This is the empowerment of the Christian life, that you and I don't walk alone, but we have the Holy Spirit who lives inside us, who gives us the ability both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And that way we can say with Paul, therefore, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet, it's not I, but Christ that liveth in me. And we can say this with Paul because we know now from Romans chapter 8 that God is doing a great work. That God is inside of us. He has provided the very foundation for us to be holy. He's made it possible for the coming of the Holy Spirit. He now makes it actual in our life as by faith we apprehend the precious truths of Scripture. And then as we seek to obey the Holy Spirit's scripture, he makes it come about in our life. Jerry Bridges, in his incredible book called The Pursuit of Holiness. Has anybody ever read that book before? The Pursuit of Holiness, wonderful book. He said this, and I think I put this on the screen. Here we go. The pursuit of holiness is a joint venture between God and the Christian. No one can attain any degree of holiness without God working in his life. But just as surely, no one will attain it without effort on his own part. My friend, we must be obedient. We must hold forth the word of life in our life. We must obey the commands of Christ. This is what Jesus has commanded us to do. This is what we're doing in Mexico. We're teaching people to obey all things whatsoever Jesus has commanded us. And the beautiful promise is that God is going to be with us until the end of the earth. And so as we are carrying out the Great Commission in Mexico, and we're telling people, hey, I know that your culture and your family and your tradition and your religion tells you that you can get to heaven by being good and giving and going through the sacraments and being, as long as you were baptized as a baby, you have received this infusion of the grace of God, and now you inherently have the ability to be holy and you can please God, and let's hope that when you die, you can go straight to heaven. But if not, I'm gonna give a little bit more to try to get you out of purgatory. What the Bible tells us, friends, is that God is at work in our lives, and it's only through Him and by faith when we trust in Him, He radically and gloriously changes our life. But it's not by works, lest any man should boast. Hey, can we be encouraged tonight, church, that as we simply obey Him, Proverbs 16:2 says, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. If I'll just do it, I don't always feel like doing it. But guess what God does for me? He can change my will. He can change my desire, because it's God that gives me both the desire and the ability to do his will. And I love that. Sanctification, one preacher in Virginia, Kurt Skelly, I love listening to Kurt Skelly teach. He says this, that sanctification is the process where God takes the Word of God and the child of God, and He makes the child of God look more like the Son of God. And this is the process of sanctification. Is that all throughout our life, God is sanctifying us through His truth, and His word is truth. And so the more and more that you and I search through the beautiful truths of Scripture and seek to obey them, God does an incredible work inside of us, and He chips away at the old man, and we are changed into the image of Christ, as the Bible says, from glory to glory. That is, from one degree of glory to another, aka progressively. Every day of my life, as I seek to obey Christ, God, through His Holy Spirit, is taking what Jesus has done, applying it to my life, and He is making me look more like Jesus Christ. Beloved, it doesn't yet appear what we shall be, but I know this, that when I see Him, I will be as He is. As John tells us in 1 John, that you know what, when I see Jesus face to face, I'm going to be like Him. I don't know what it's all going to look like. But I know that God is going to be faithful to do that, what He has set out to do. And we can be confident of this very thing tonight, church, that He which hath begun a good work in us will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. Father, we thank You so much for the opportunity to jump into Your word for this quick Bible study. As we see, as Paul was laying out what the Christian life looks like in Romans chapter 6 and 7 and 8, we understand that the Christian life was never meant to be lived alone. It was never meant to be lived through mere striving, through mere trying harder. It's not a life of moralism and do better, but it is a life empowered by the Holy Spirit. So God, may we rest and may we trust in Your good work to bring forth Jesus Christ in us. Help us to be a light to the world, a city that is set on a hill. Lord, help us to shine bright our light to a dark and dying world so that they can see the beauty and the wonder of Christ. May they see it in us.